Good morning. One of the things that happened to me is that ever since I asked Jesus to come into my heart at age 23, that he has taken me through a life that has been nothing less than exciting. And it's beautiful what the Lord does. I just can't tell you how grateful that I am that he saved me. That's the first thing. You should say to Jesus, when you wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Amen.
Because that is the starting point. Okay? So the first thing you should do when you get up in the morning is take a look at the Great Commission that's listed here in the Gospel of Matthew. And he says, starting in verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then here's your part. Go therefore. Everybody say after me, go.
Go.
Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them, not just up to me, it's up to all of us that have been enlightened by the power of your word, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. See, one of the things that I'm really excited about is the fact that all the authority is his. We are receptors of his authority. When you ask Jesus into your heart, all of a sudden he gives you a brand new, everybody say, life. You get a brand new life that he has provided for you. And you're going to present this to somebody who doesn't have a clue about what God has done, pretty much doesn't care, pretty much been oblivious. Now, I don't know if many of you know this, but I was in Florida here in the first week of April, and I just, Lord, why are you sending me down here? So me and my wife were there for a week, and oh my goodness, one right after the other of people that the Lord just put right in front of me. Some of them were family, strong Catholics that are pretty much sacramental Christians, but you can have a personal relationship. I started throwing those two words out. I said, have you ever heard from your priest when he is giving his homily the words personal relationship? And they all just kind of stared at me. So then I took out my prayer of abandonment, which most of you have because I've already given it out, and I handed it out, and every single one of them wanted it. That's exciting, because they knew that their religion brought them this far and then not quite much farther. Because sacramentalism, which I've been part of, that when my parents brought me up in that, because that's what they had. They gave me Catholicism, and that's what I had. So I found out that I could have a relationship with the church. But the important thing was I had to come to a point in my life, and he brought me to that point because I got a little arrogant with the Lord. And I said, I don't want anybody bringing me to you but you. Well, he heard that prayer, and he honored it. And on August the 12th of 1973, Jesus gave me a whole brand new life. So that's what happened to me. But the important thing is that you can't let it stop there. You've got to feed that brand new life. The only way to feed it is in the power of this book that God has given us, which is our instruction manual. I went home from that morning, that afternoon, by the way, at Mecca Conception Catholic Church. And I went back home and I could pull out the Bible and I didn't set it down at 2:30 in the morning. And I'm telling you, I was so excited with this brand new desire for the things of God. Okay, now, scripture after scripture, I got a whole bunch of them here. But I want to just say, what do you do after you read that particular scripture? So I'm going to stay with probably the most famous scripture that you see in football games. Everybody seen that guy with the big sign? What's it say? John 3:16. All right, do you know it by heart? For that in him should, what's that word? Have eternal life. What does have mean? Own. Think about that. When he gave us the word, when he gave us that beautiful scripture, for God so loved the world, it's enough to make me cry just to think about that much of it. That Jesus, who was called, and the lamb led to slaughter, he didn't hardly say anything. Except when they asked him, who are you really? I think the angels just about pushed everybody over when he said, I am, and you will see the Son of God standing. Yeah, you guys know what happened at that particular moment. Because he couldn't keep quiet because of who he is. Was and ever shall be. Okay. So those are the scriptures that I'm talking about, but I've got a whole bunch more for you. But right now, I want to close my Bible and I want to get into my teaching because I just started. Would you take it? I'm going to need it real quick. Okay. Introducing one to the spiritual life is something that has to be completely directed and controlled by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to get into the meat of what evangelism really is. He knows the condition, guys, listen up. He knows the condition of the heart of the one to whom you are speaking. He knows their condition. It is imperative that you use this moment in time with the greatest of a sensitivity to the movement direction of the Holy Spirit, because eternity is the subject. And where that soul that you are speaking to is going. Wow. You are, in essence, the light shining into that soul, and just know that you have been chosen for that divine appointment. So be prepared. As the scouts say, or the Marines, whom the motto is always ready. Matthew 28:19 is obeyed by you. That's what's happening. So get ready. You are opening the door of the heart of that one to a whole new world that God has been seeding through time. And while the spotlight is on you, just know that he is the boss and sovereign over all things anyway. So just know that he wants you prepared and full of the knowledge of his word. So the right power-packed word, because every single word is power-packed in the Holy Word anyway, is going to swing that heart from certain death and hellfire into the presence and the arms of Jesus for the future. What an awesome task. It's an awesome thought to fall in the hands of a mighty God. You've read that in the Bible. Serious business, for sure. So the question must be asked. This is an earth-shattering question. You have got to shake up that person. You got to pull the rug out from underneath them by asking this one question. Are you afraid to die? Sobering question, isn't it? Just look at the person. Are you afraid to die? The person's interest in these things must be piqued, and the intensity of the conversation put on fire, so questions must be asked, like, what's important to you? Do you believe that you have a soul? You guys, you got to find out what the questions are. How are you going to pique the interest of that person? So what is that soul inside of you anyway? You know, I've asked many people, can you define what your soul is? Most of them don't even know what it is. Yeah, I know I got one. I don't know what it is. So the important thing is, it's what makes you tick. That's an easy answer. You got to see if the fish is hungry. All right, have you ever wondered what happens after you die? Everyone does. So we all know and accept the fact that these fragile bodies of ours have an end date. This is just a sort of a time stamp that is very real, and reality comes to a grinding halt, and that's it. Do you believe in eternity? Then listen to what they believe in. They're going to start talking to you. Look for a link. That is when the Holy Spirit will show up and guide you with the right words or the scriptures to discuss. Maybe now it's time to introduce a loving God to them who has a marvelous plan for their life and makes them realize that the Lord is not some horrible ogre up there waiting to pounce on them with anger and vengeance. No, he's a loving God that can only work with righteousness and reserves his grace for whom he wants to give it. Too many people have got rotten opinions of who our Heavenly Father is. They don't get that. They are good. Thank you. They are so full of I don't want to use premeditated, but I will say that they are so full of just not of junk about God that they don't have a clue really who he is. And most of them are so afraid to even think about it, they push it away and then, well, maybe someday I'll deal with this. And people do that. You've seen that happen over and over and over again. Guess where the light of the Holy Spirit comes out of when you're talking to that person? Right here. Comes out of your eyes. I'm telling you, I've got histories with friends. I am just, they're almost sinless. One guy was, his name was Carol Nye, N-E-Y. And I got to be good friends with him. And just before he died, I was looking into his eyes, and it was like all of heaven was looking back at me. I mean, there are some people that are so holy. And then again, there are the rest that there's so much darkness when you see in their eyes. The Lord has allowed me to see this darkness. As you know, I work the fairs, the county fairs. And I really can tell you, I can see these people walking in front of me, and especially the Washington County Fair, and they would maybe come up to me. Sometimes they see my big sign on the top of the booth that we have said, "Are you going to have a two-question test?" And they'll actually walk around because there's like this glow that's coming off of it. God has prepared this for me and our partner who's ever working with me. But I'm telling you, people are scared of God. And you can guess where that's coming from. It's right out of the pits of hell. Because our God is a loving God, hallelujah. I mean, it's enough to make you put your arms up in the air and say, thank you for being a loving God. And that all this beautiful stuff you have, what are you, Father? You are righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what you got to tell people. Well, what is the kingdom of God? Well, there it is. That's scriptural. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Lord looks to and fro throughout the earth, seeking those whose hearts are turned towards him. For his reward is with him, and he gives it out to whom he chooses. Does anybody know that scripture? I know I've got the address right here in front of me. And if you want to write it down, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 9 and 10. Because it's important that people know that God, this is critical, God is hungry for their soul. I mean, he is hungry just to get Revelation 3:20 to kick in and into play and work. But behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. And if anybody enters, I will bring my Father with me, and we will come in and we will sup with him. What a wonderful dinner. Okay, that's great. So when you are looking for a bait, as it were, to catch that fish, looking at you, after quoting that verse to them, you might say, do you consider yourself as one of those lovers of God who this verse points to, or, watch me, or does your unrepented history of sinfulness stop you? Think about that. After all, we all have consciences. Every human being has a conscience. And if you are truly honest with yourself, there just wouldn't be enough good to pay for all that sin you have done so far, right? You got to get them unsettled. That's a good question to ask. What happened to all, what are you going to do with all this? This whatever you've brought to this point, that you, however old the person is. After all, we all have consciences. And so what is the answer? Is there to handle all of this? God said sin. Oh, this is huge. Well, somebody said, well, I don't care about my sin. God said, this is how grievous sin is. And you've got to bring that home to that person. And this grievous sin has to be paid for with the shedding of blood, God's rule. Shedding of blood. So let us look at the payment. And I emphasize the word payment, done for you by the one who came to this earth to pay for your sins and mine. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He was born into the world to do the job of cleaning up mankind of its massive sinfulness, and he did that with just one act done on a cross. He told us that he had the power to lay down his life and then the power to take it up again, and he did just that. The word left for us to learn is our study guide, and more than our teachings prepared for us in such a way as to give us all the victories we need whenever we need them. So what happened when we received the good news was so wonderful, so enlightening, that we were even given help to not make mistakes as we humans do from time to time. So there is also the component of grace always available for us in an abundant supply. I'm just so glad that I hear that. So I wanted to ask you, friend, like I'm standing here talking to you, that you're an unbeliever. So I'm asking you, friend, the question, why would anyone foolishly reject this? I'm giving you a long pause. I want you to think about that question. Why would anyone foolishly reject? When you say that to that person, you are going right into their pride. You are going right into that self-centered human being, and you are saying, hey, there's light in your darkness. And this is what it is because I've given it to you, I've shown you. And the point is that it is of value, and you need to realize that it's going to come. And when it comes, it can fill you up in places in your heart that have been dirty and rotten. Why? Because the heart is deceptively wicked and desperately sick. Who can know it? That's verses Jeremiah 17:9. And you need to understand that's where you're going. You're going into this dirty soul. But when you realize that God is with you and the Holy Spirit is doing his number, by the way, you only got so much time. That person is going to walk away. I mean, you might have a few seconds, you might have 10 minutes. But the more that you are unloading the power of that light that is within you, and it's strong and it's mighty and it's vibrant, and it's the Holy Spirit. He did this work. Aren't you glad? You don't got to worry about it. Just open up your mouth and be the one that God has set aside for you. So then when you think of the alternative of what is God's answer to the rejecter of these words, it should be known that he needs to read what the reward is. What's the reward of the one who rejects? Well, I'm going to tell you where it read it in that guide that we have called our Holy Bible. And I have to tell you what he said. This is God speaking, not me. I want you to know that I'm telling you because I know right where it is. I'll tell you right where it is on this particular thing. The lake of fire. Whether a fact or not, as accepted as truth, in one's mind, would it be smart to let pride rule here? You're dealing with his pride. You're dealing with his self-centeredness. The lake of fire scripture, by the way, it's Revelation 20, last verse. Revelation 21, again, the last verse. So you want to know where it is? That's an easy find. It's the book of life. Let's get your name written there forever. So you need to understand, I got a bunch of scripture references here. Jeremiah 29:11 is one of my favorites. And God says, I got a great plan for you, plans to prosper you. And not for your demise, but that's a beautiful verse. Zephaniah 3:17 is another beautiful verse. God says, I dance over the thought of you. God tells you how excited he is when he just even thinks about you. His thoughts are so wonderful, they're more than the sand on the sea. And that's what he tells us. Why would anybody want to reject that? Just look at the person and tell you, why would you want to reject someone who has that much love in your heart that he sent his son to be up on a cross and die and shed his blood for you? No one else is going to do that. But Jesus did it. So that's what you need to do, is to accept the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. Okay, then you want to hand me my Bible, please. So the important thing is that people need to understand, where do I go in here to find out how wonderful this God really is? You know what I do? I go right into the Psalms. Okay? And I go and I just say, you know, I really want to read this to you because for this particular person or that person who does these things, there's a psalm in here that starts to talk about it. It's Psalm 91. How many of you are familiar with it? I am. I mean, it's the most wonderful psalm, I'm telling you. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That'll get you to heaven right there. I trust you, God. That's all he wants. He wants your trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. And we've all had a terrible winter. I was so sick. I suffered. and so did my wife. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. And that's what I would do. I would take the stupid cold, and I would go and find a place, quiet my house, and I would go there and find refuge and just pray and try to speak because I couldn't hardly talk. 5 weeks I had no voice. 5 weeks. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence, thank you, Jesus, that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. There's all these promises. 1,000 may fall at your right side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. And now, here he's going to start talking to you about why he loves you. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Oh, I love that. Isn't that comforting? Because the Lord, you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Choose him. The Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall come, be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. How poetic. You will tread on the lion and the adder, young lion, serpent, you will trample down. Now here's verses 14 through 16. Guys, there are 6 promises here. And I want you to hear every single one of them. This is for the believer. This is for the one who really searching after God. This is for the guy who says, man, I've lost everything. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I'm totally upset. What has God got for me? Who is this God? All right, you ready? Because he holds fast to me in love, God speaking here, will deliver him or her. I will protect him or her because they know my name. Hallelujah. When they call to me, I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. And then the final verse, quit worrying about your life and how long you're going to live. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Just feast your ears on that and be ministered to by his word. Because I can tell you, from experience, after almost 70 years of being in this world, that God really has got great things in store. You know what? I don't care if you're 92, particular man I'm looking at, 92 years old, or you're the youngest person in here, and I don't know who is, but the point is that we're all up there. But the important thing is that no matter how old you are, God has got a great vision for your life. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a pursuit. But I'm telling you, I'm truly excited about the fullness of what God has planned for me. God, where are you taking me? Lord, what is it you've got planned for me? Wanda and I were down on the beach, and we were walking up and down these little short stairs, and there was a couple sitting on the other side of the stairs right there on the beach at Daytona Beach. And the Lord was kind of like pointing to them. And I said, hi. He said, where are you guys from? So we went through the little small talk, and I said, are you married yet? And the Lord said, no, they're not. And they said, no, we're engaged. Seriously. I mean, a lot of times God tells me what's going on even before they open their mouths. That's just a gift I have. And so I'm just talking to them about my marriage. And now he's using that as a link to try to get into their hearts. Well, Wanda was right with me, and we just went right straight into their hearts, this precious couple. And we had the best time evangelizing this couple. That was great. So the important thing is, guys, look for a link. The Holy Spirit's going to give you a link into where that other person is in their life. And when he gives you that link, go in fellowship with him there. You're looking for acceptance. You're looking for a heart that's yearning after what God wants to do. Okay, so after having read this verse, so what must happen in us to be accepted by the Father and no longer come under judgment? We need to come not under condemnation, but move our souls from that to justification. The Holy Spirit does this. It's his work. You are looking for that soul to be transformed by the renewing of their minds and subsequently their hearts. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your hearts so that you might prove what the perfect will of God is. They have been living in sin and pride and everything unrighteous since they were born. The Bible calls it the flesh. That old man of original sin has to be nailed. Everybody say after me, nailed to the cross. And that takes death to it, and that comes to repentance. The Word will put that person in the right lane, road, thought, and then attitude, so that can happen. Then and only then, tell them about John 3:3 and fully explain it. Everybody know what that verse is? You should. Nicodemus and Jesus were talking. And then Jesus looks at him, you must be born again. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless one is born again. Well, I'm going to make this brief. The point that nothing imperfect or sinful can ever enter heaven. That's what he meant by that. Especially a dirty soul. It must be born again. Control, alt, delete. You want to look at it? That's what it is. Would you like to? Now, you're at that point, and they're going like this. They're back and forth. They're struggling inside their soul, soulishness, which I already told that you mind your will and your emotions. Would everybody ask? Everybody needs to hear this. And maybe say this after me. Would you like to pray with me? You know how powerful that is? You are opening up the door to heaven to that guy. So now let's make this happen. After the prayer, after you've been praying with them, tell them that they need baptism as a sign to the world and the evil one that their soul belongs to God. When do they do that? They share in the death and resurrection of Jesus their Savior, and they will come into obedience to the Word in Mark 16:60. That's where it says. That's where Jesus was telling all the promises, over 7,000 of them, will then open up to them, and the Holy Spirit will come in and lead them into all righteousness and right thinking the rest of the day of their days on earth, all the way to the great taking up of the church. And I do tell them about that, as is written in by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to the end, and 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 55, which that person will take part in as part of the body of Christ. Now they need to learn about the fruits of the Holy Spirit as well as the gifts, which is 1 Corinthians 12. They need to get into Psalms and Proverbs. The personal relationship starts when they open this up and they start reading it. And they do it with all their heart, yearning and searching. And I would tell them one more thing, and that is get a notebook and write things down. So I want to end this by saying, Lord, bless every one of the hearts. Bless every one of the souls that are listening. Put a hunger to share your word. And lift them up, Lord, and give them divine appointments that is already designed by you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.